So this will be a segment that we've called Beyond the Party, which is talking about what we as communities can do, and actually John was talking about this a lot, what we can do to direct our collective energies towards the future and what the future holds for all of us as communities. Who'll be and Carrie, who will both be talking about activism and political organizing as it relates to our communities. Jelaine, who you met earlier, will be talking about engaging youth. And Dusty is talking about networking and the gathering of the tribes, which was our inspiration for this event. Fred will be working as ringleader through this, but I wanted to give the introductions first. So here you go.
All right. Well, everybody, I'm Fred Hewitt from Portland, Oregon, honorary resident of the Bay Area for many years. And I'm speaking, I think, from the perspective of somebody involved in what you all probably think of as conventional politics, although I also think that it's important to have interest in a broad range of things, ranging from doing demonstrations and various kinds of actions all the way across to electoral work and passing legislation, being involved in regulatory work, and so forth. John Wood gave a really good presentation there of how when you do all that, and it takes a long time and it's really not much fun, but when you do all that, you can actually make things happen. And so for a minute or two, I want to talk about the bigger picture here, because in addition to our own concerns about what's happening with the work, the work that we do with events, this, I think, as several speakers have said today, ties in to some bigger trends in society and in governance in the country right now. And that's what politics is about. Politics is not about politicians on TV. Politics is about the rules for how we live. Politics is what the society uses to organize its functioning parts. When you don't have good politics, you have chaos. Not anarchy, you have chaos. And there are parts of the globe right now which are really chaotic, without the foundations that, for good or ill, that you need in order to have a functioning political system. 15 years ago or so, when I would talk to people who weren't registered to vote, they would tell me that they didn't want to be registered because it means that they would get chosen for jury service or something like that. And I thought that was a fairly lame answer at that point. But now what I hear when I ask people why they don't register or don't vote is, I'm not political. Well, there's nothing really wrong with that statement in some ways, because if you think that politics is about corrupt institutions and about people on the necessarily personal take, but on the political take, on the failure of institutions to protect and develop our society the way it should be, then politics is pretty bad, and we don't want to be involved in that. But I also think that our system of governance, such as it is, with all of its flaws, still offers a lot of opportunities. And the Late Night Coalition has done an excellent job showing in a microcosm, the city's a pretty big place, but in a small way on the national scale, how that can work effectively for people like us. So just to pitch that, even if you think I'm not political, it's worth thinking about what it means to be political. Politics, so I have three takeaway points. First one, politics is personal. Politics isn't about TV ads and all that. I mean, sure, that election campaigns and all those things, politicians smiling for the cameras and telling you absolutely nothing, which you can see every day. Politics is two people sitting down in a room and arguing over whether or not they're going to get a permit for a party. But politics is about getting into that room because you've built the relationships that are necessary to have that discussion. These things don't happen overnight, and they don't come from a perspective of the system is totally messed up and I'm not going to get involved, I'm not political. The second point is, politics, as I said before, is about governance. It's not just about the rules of law and order, it's also about the way that we divide up resources in society. My main interest in politics is environmental. I work with the Sierra Club and a lot of other groups, and we do various things that have to do with that issue. The third thing is, what I will throw at you now is a political science term you can forget if you wish, but it's an important point. We are at a moment of what I would call the crisis of legitimation. This is a very fancy political science term for the withdrawal of people from the political world, for saying, I'm not political, and meaning it, and then basically turning their back on it. Well, when you look at one of the symptoms of that issue, of that particular trend, in the year 2000, November of 2000, probably the most gripping, exciting in some ways, devastating election in my lifetime, where our states were all up for grabs, certainly in Oregon, where I'm from, was one of the finalists in that little lottery. If you look at the turnout, I do political voter files and other kinds of voter lists. So I have all the data. So we look at the data and see what the voting patterns are. People 45 and up voted at about 80% in Oregon. Now, Oregon's a high turnout state, so okay. People 45 and below voted at 50%. It's always a lower in the lower age ranges, but it is especially lower now. The generation from my age down has decided to opt out of the political system. This is what they mean when they talk about the crisis of legitimation. If we just think it's totally a mess and it's totally hopeless, we're not going to get involved, that delegitimizes the institutions that we ultimately do rely on, even if they are messed up, to run the society. So I encourage you to think carefully about your own perspective in the future as far as how to be involved in the political system, as bad as it may be, because it's what we have to protect us from straight-up direct power over our lives. So I think that's probably, I'll close with one quick thing. There are three elements that I think are worth thinking about in exercising political power. One is voice. That's what you believe, what your perspective is, your message, your point of view. The second is the message and how you bring that forward. And the third is the concept of what a friend of mine calls the winning coalition. This is something, again, the late night has done an excellent job of, finding out not just within your own group the power to get something to occur or to stop something, but what are the other forces in society, other kinds of people who don't think the way that we do, who will support what we're doing because we have these joint interests. Those are the things to think about in terms of not just having demonstrations, but also in terms of passing laws, and even in terms of voting and electing people. So I really encourage everybody to remember, it's not just about demonstrations in the streets. Those are great. If you don't have those, you don't have a political movement. But if you're not electing people and putting things into practice, you also don't have a political movement.
So my name is Kerry Levenberg. I've been involved in political activism community for about the same amount of time, since about 96, in one way or another. For me, there's strong connections to be made in both of this work. And it involves thinking about vision. So one of the things that's central to the kind of organizing work I do, in my anti-war work with an organization called Heads Up, or in my anti-racism work with the Global Justice Project of the Challenging White Supremacy Workshops, is to think about, we build the road by walking, which is a term by Paulo Vieira. And when I think about that, it's we're trying to build a world with our visions. And my vision of a better world involves dancing, art, music. It involves collective liberation for ourselves, for my neighbors, and for the people I've never met. So both of these different kinds of work inform each other. When I think about my years in Food Not Bombs, which is where I began doing my organizing work, like one of the strongest points for me was the celebration of the work that Food Not Bombs have been doing for 20 years, which happened a couple years ago in Dolores Park, in which 15,000 people showed up to celebrate. And that celebration was supported by Cloud Factory, who brought out this enormous tent, and Predon, which had helped bring out sound, and a bunch of folks from this community who are involved in DJing and setup and all kinds of work. It's a coming together of the communities. On the flip side, when I think about what communities like ours can learn from organizers and activists, the road that we're trying to walk in these communities, we're not the first ones to do it to try and build communities. And there are all these organizations out there that have been thinking about issues of like transparency and meritocracy and accountability, and have been doing it for decades. And we as communities have a lot to learn by going and building relationships with these different organizations. So I think about what we were just talking about in the last panel about the war on drugs, and I think the community that's been most affected by the war on drugs isn't sitting in this room, but is right outside those doors. And the folks right outside those doors have been organizing around the war on drugs since it's been out, because they're the ones that have been most impacted. And this community has resources and knowledge to share. And that community has resources, knowledge, and decades of leadership to share. And by bringing these kinds of things together, can strengthen both our own communities and our neighbors. And I think about what Melissa had said in an earlier panel on the different work being done in these communities. And she had said that one of the things that we most needed was to be working with our neighbors. Like, she talked to me afterward and she said, what a great thing it would be to be, you know, not just do a fashion show, but to do a block party and have a fashion show be a part of it, and to build those connections. And that kind of work is slow, respectful work, to see who's living next door, to see the organizing that's happening around us, to build up our communities. And we both have a lot to learn from the communities around us and a lot to share.
Hi, I'm Jolaine Marsh. I'm going to be talking about how we can get youth involved in our community, how we can engage youth in what we do. And that doesn't mean engaging youth in the party scene in particular, but it's about engaging youth in our lifestyle, in our life. And that's about building relationships. And it goes along well with what Carrie was saying about building relationships with your community, about looking outside at who your neighbors are. And those people are not just 20-somethings and 30-somethings who are hip and who you might like to hang out with and party with and introduce them to a party, but they might be 14-year-old kids who are going to be watching you and who will be paying attention to what you do and learning from you. And one of the best things that you can do when talking to a youth is to just realize that they're a person that's going to be an older person one day too, that you got where you are by learning things from other people, learning things from older people. And if you can keep your mind open to what the youth have to offer to us, then you will be one of the people who can actually offer something back to them as well. One of the things that a lot of people do when they see a youth in a party, and I mean a youth like 13, 14, 15-year-old kids, and these are the ones that when you see them at a party, you often think that they're screwing up, they're the ones that are making the parties difficult to deal with because they don't know how to deal with their drugs yet, they're making a big deal out of all of this, they're getting drunk and thrown up in the bathrooms or whatever. This is what a lot of people see. But there's a lot more that they have to offer. And they come to these things because they see there's something there. They come to the parties because they see something there that they want. But they don't quite know how to do it yet. And none of us really knew how to do it when we got there, when we started. So what I'm trying to suggest is that in order to make the community grow into the future, we have to accept that there are youth that are going to come up through our community. We were once youth, and we're going to grow older, and our kids are going to need to come into this community. Our friends' kids or our little brothers and sisters are going to have to come up, and they're going to watch us. And when you see one of these kids at a party, instead of just looking at them and judging them for what they're doing wrong or what you see that they might be stamping a stain on the community with their youthful problems. And we all know what we're talking about. There are little, just don't know any better. You haven't seen or learned how to do is make a relationship with these kids. Be a good example to one kid. Reach out and don't just tell them how to act. Don't just grab them by the arm and say, hey, that's not appropriate behavior. But speak to them. Listen to them. Find out what it is they do. Find out why they're there. Find out what they like to do. Encourage them to do it and encourage them to be more of that, to be a better person, to be a stronger human being. We all got great ideas and strength out of our community. And I think that if we can just believe that we can offer that back to the youth of our community, then it's going to continue on. I would really like to see more young kids at our parties, more kids that are 12, 13, 14 years old that aren't just tagging along with their parents but really have something to offer. You know, give them spots to DJ because some of them have been practicing for 4 years. You know, give them a spot to spin fire. Even if they're not as good as your buddy, they're learning and they really need a chance to show what they can do because they've got skills. And there are things that youth have skills at we don't have anymore because we've lost it. And we have to let those things shine. And I don't really know what else I can tell you. I'm not here to tell you how to talk to kids. I want to encourage people to reach out to youth because we can't continue to be a youthful community if the kids who are young come in don't feel comfortable or feel like they've been ostracized because they're still young. They have to walk in and feel like they're part of the family. Because they are.
Hi, I'm Dusty Ann, and I'm one of the people that started the Gathering of the Tribes three, four years ago. How much time do I have? About?
I think 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Five or ten minutes.
Okay, cool. Because I want to address the panel is it's called Beyond the Party, right? So it's about how, to me, what that I'm going to try to talk about Gathering of the Tribes also in this, but what that brings up for me is something that I think a lot of us that are in this room probably must have gone through at some point, which is there's an initial transformation that I think a lot of us have experienced on the dance floor. You know, you go out to an event, you have a really transcendent experience, and it transforms you and it changes you, and you get back from that experience and you're not quite the same as you were before. Maybe you learned something, maybe you feel happier, but you have some new energy that you brought back from that event with you, and it's changed you in some way. And I feel like a lot of people, for a while, that was satisfying. That was enough for a lot of people, just to go out and have that experience and connect with people. And then at some point, I feel like a lot of the people who are in this room must have felt like they wanted to do something with that transformation. They must have felt like they wanted to share that with a larger segment of the world or want to try to use that energy to affect some kind of larger change than just their own dance floor experience. And so I'm supposed to also talk about networking, and Gathering of the Tribes has, up until this point, largely been a tool specifically for networking. And I kind of just wanted to tie that into how networking fits in with our larger goals and needs and issues and all of that. And so in my personal experience in this community, it was like that for me. I started going out to events. I had transformational experiences. But the first time that I really had a transformational set of experiences that really made me feel like I wanted more from this life than before was the first time I went on tour with our tribe, which is Moon Tribe, and started meeting other collectives. And it was really the first, I mean, there was a few other collectives around LA and a couple others that I had heard of or run into, but it was the first time that I got to travel and stay in people's houses and see the parties that they throw and see their relationships and see how they were struggling with all the same issues that we were struggling with and see how they did it for the same reasons we did it. And they almost had the same sense of humor half the time. And it's just, you know, it's like that family, like, instant connection that you feel when you run into kindred spirits from another place. And I found that to be really magical. And we got back from that trip, and I just felt so beautifully taken care of by so many people that before had been strangers and now were more like family, that I wanted to bring them all to LA and have them experience what we're doing there, because we have really fun and exciting community there. And I know everybody hates LA, but we like it. So
this is the Bay Area.
What's that?
This is the Bay Area.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, we get that everywhere we go. So, but it's okay. And so anyway, so I had that experience. I wanted to bring everybody together, and I've been sort of kind of, you know, I'm also in school to be a PhD in social work and social welfare, and so I've studied a lot of community organizing, and I really liked what you had to say about that, by the way. But so I've been kind of developing some of my own theories of community organizing and community development and how we can further a social movement. And I started thinking about the idea of a grassroots movement, right? We've all heard that term. And I haven't actually looked up to see what the origins of that, why it's called grassroots, but I kind of had my own little reflection on it and started thinking about how grassroots are. They're interlocking roots, right? If you think of how grass is, it doesn't go that deep into the soil, but it's all interconnected. So from the surface, all you see are these individual blades of grass that each one seems insignificant. But yet, if you pull on one of them, you get all of them, right? So the grass idea that if you unite and organize individual people, you'll draw on all, right? And you'll be able to have this cohesive kind of thing that holds together. Well, I think that really well and still works on a lot of levels, but I think we're dealing with mega corporations and big war machines on a whole new level than that can roll grass up as sod and use it for their lawns. You know, I mean, straight up, grass is not a substance. So I started thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, started realizing how the parties and the art and the culture and the family connections really plays in with our ability to organize. That stuff gives us deeper roots. We're not little blades of grass. We can grow up to be trees. We can be big. We can have roots that go deep, and that's why we do yoga, and that's why we dance together, and that's why we go through crazy, fucked up experiences together and get through them and realize that we're stronger because of it, and we're developing ourselves as people. And I feel like we are active, and I feel like we are trying to make change, but I feel like a lot of us have felt like we need to put that into our, you know, we need to be strong. We need to be big because it's big forces that we're up against. It's like what John Wood was saying about, you know, it's like what they're doing is working, but every time the ante gets upped and upped and upped, and the other side does this, and we don't even want to be all about sides, but yet we find ourselves fighting, and it just becomes quite a struggle. And there's so networking. I think what we've always tried to do with Gathering of the Tribes is just to promote the best, deepest kind of networking. It's like the term networking, you hear that in corporate America, you hear that all over the place. It's this idea of making connections, right? Getting somewhere, finding resources, connecting with groups that have resources that you need, etc. That's what people think of when they think of networking, and I think that that's a really important part of it, and resource development and looking at how we can all pool our efforts and our resources to make a bigger change is a really important thing to do. But I think that what our community, what our movement brings to that, that I don't know if it's unique, but it's certainly something that we're doing, is that we're building those really deep connections in ourselves and with each other that really mean something, you know, that really are so special to us that even if we're not that politically active right now, as the situation heats up, people just aren't going to want to lose what they've gained, you know. People are going to come to care about this, and I think the more that we create a whole nation of communities that care so much about the way of life that we're living, it's not going to be hard to get people to stand up when it's threatened. It's not going to be overcoming all that apathy. It's not going to be having to convince people that this is important. And it would be nice if people got up quicker. I know we all get frustrated about that, you know, but I just want to really encourage us to keep building the deep ties that we have been. It's healing for me to come to a space like this and encounter this family that's taught me so much over the last few years and see us all continue to be drawn to this space together. And I just don't think that we should ignore that. And I probably have talked too long. I've been hoping to actually get from all of you, because one of the things that when we plan events like this, we want to know the best ways to help you network. You know, I mean, I could stand up here and talk about ways to network, but you know, when you come to an event like this, whether it promotes networking or whether it gets in the way. Is there so much programming that you don't have a chance to talk to anybody and meet anybody? Or are there so many people that you just can't even get a handle on getting to know people, et cetera, et cetera? So I don't know what our time is like, but if we wanted to hear from people of networking-wise.
We're running a little late here. Mm-hmm. JD or somebody, can you tell me how much time we should keep going here? It's about 5 to 6. Okay, let's do 10 minutes, and then if that's enough. Somebody have a question out there or a comment?
I think, you know, we're talking about just allowing a space for people to have time to
good idea. Good idea. And I'm asking both for our own planning, but also just I think these answers come better from all of you than.
John. I have to say in response to that, you know, the Insane Clown Posse just came to Portland. Do you all know about the Insane Clown Posse? They're from Detroit. It's a mass phenomenon in the country, and I don't see the potential in that crowd that I do with the people who are doing electronic music. Not that there's not, it's not possible, but it's so commercialized, it squeezes out the potential for connections. The interesting thing I heard from all of you was the idea of consciously reaching out. It's you don't, you know, we don't become all big one happy family by just in, you know, saying it's going to be so,
right.
But you have to be open to the connections where they're available.
Yeah.
Right next door, basically, like you said. Somebody else? They might offer you candy or something. My name is Fred and I'm jaded. Comments? Okay, let's move on. Yes.
One thing that comes up for me is how do we follow through? I mean, this is great when we talk about this stuff, but then we, many of us go off and are in different ways.
All I can tell you is that Pat Leahy, who's the ranking member in the Senate Judiciary Committee, is a deadhead. There's going to be a raver in Congress sooner or later, right? So let's make sure we get the right one. Brian?
Can I also respond
to that? Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I didn't talk actually too much about Gathering of the Tribes itself, and I won't go into any detail about it really today unless you have specific questions. But one thing about it is that our express goal is to link up all of these collectives and tribes. We have a database of about 900 people at this point. We have message boards that people can have discussions on and that kind of thing, and it's also very possible to get involved in our organizing efforts, and we're still making our plans for what our event or events are going to be this year, and we're working a lot on fundraising and a lot on just generally building support for what we're doing. But yeah, definitely the question that always comes up in these spaces, it's like I said, in the last few years, we've mostly focused on networking. We've focused on some education, we've focused on some cool programming, but mostly it's been just trying to get people in the same room so that those connections can happen. And I feel like we're moving into a space where we're ready to take more active action. And I think that trying to get funding and things like that is gonna force us into a more active stance. If we wanna be considered a legitimate social movement, we're gonna have to start making some impact. So it's not like there's no avenue out there to get involved. This is just my little call. Like, there's several people up here working on different projects. Gathering of the Tribes is definitely here as something that's trying to get everybody from the dance movement working on lots of different things. San Francisco organizers here of Storm Sessions have been doing a great job getting things going locally. You've got John and the San Francisco Late Night Coalition. There's plenty to get involved in. So if you're feeling like, what do? How do we stay connected? Some of those structures are already in place. Some of them still need to be built, but we welcome you into it to whatever degree you're available.
For me, I feel like in order to follow through on this stuff, part of it is to think about what it means to be intentional communities, which is what we are. And for me, that means thinking about what your mission is or what your goals are and being explicit about them, and thinking about who you're accountable to, and then working on how to do that. And that involves bringing up really hard questions. You know, if you want to build youth leadership, how do you do that? You know, if you want to look at ourselves and think about, okay, so, you know, how are gender dynamics impacting the way our community is functioning? What's going on with race dynamics, with class dynamics? Bring out hard questions. Right? Make sure, like, be intentional about them. And when you think about those and then who you're accountable to, you can start building those relationships with youth if you want to be accountable to youth and bring them in. Like, and make the youth a part of your organization, you got to be accountable to the youth and to any communities that you want to bring in and make a part of your community or your organization or whatever direction you're coming at it from.
Brian, and then we'll do one more because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
More?
One thing that we're going to do this next year is we're going to do a youth voter project in which we target colleges and, you know, go out in the afternoon. It's aimed to be something that's done by young people for young people more than us, you know, me anyway. I'm their dad's age, some of them. But more than us going out, have young kids go out during the day with little sound systems, just a couple of monitors.
right. Well, we're getting close to our time here, so is there any final question or comment? How about from our lovely group of panelists? I think I would just say one thing, which is in the last few years, it's quite apparent with the anti-globalization movement and now with the peace movement that's happening literally around the world, that there is a resurgence of street politics, of demonstrations, of those kinds of networks. But it's very important, especially in this country, since we don't have a strong culture of this, to remember that we have to aspire to power. It's not just enough to be resistance. You actually have to go get power in order to exercise it. So that would be my closing comment. Thanks very much, everybody.